This is Dr. Letitia Wright for IDCDating.com. IDC Dating is where we're creating multicultural relationships every day. Today our podcast is with Todd Krieger. Let me tell you a little bit about Todd Krieger. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist. He's also a licensed clinical social worker. He works with premarital couples and couples on making their relationships better. Welcome to the podcast, Todd.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about couples and money today, because one of the things that, whether you're dating or you're already a married couple, money is a really big deal, and it's really important to bring everything together and make the relationships work. So we want to talk with you about that.
That's great. And yeah, money is probably one of the top. Many people believe, the experts believe, that money is really one of the top reasons why couples get divorced, even above sex and kids and everything else.
I see. Now, what is it about money that, above everything else, is so difficult? It's difficult for people to talk about it. It's difficult for people to come to agreements and resolve issues about it. What is the big mystery?
Well, you know, money is not just about money. It represents a lot of things. It represents power, self-worth, territoriality, and we're not really taught how do we deal with the fact that we're individuals, but now we have to be a couple. We need to be a we. And money speaks to all those challenges. So really, there's a lot of hidden things it represents that people don't talk about.
Okay. We don't talk about it in our family, so we
right.
never really, we see our parents dealing with it, but we don't really see it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. We don't see it enough to really learn the life lessons.
That's right.
So if we're just a dating couple and we're beginning to come together and begin to mesh our life together, what are some of the things we need to consider?
What
to consider.
We need to, well, you know, first of all, if we're getting married, we need to consider how, you know, what is important to us. What are our values? How do I see what I want to do with my money? How much do I want to set aside for retirement? Do I want to go on vacation? Is that important to you? What are our values? And most people don't talk about it, so they just get married and they start to live their lives and they have conflict and they don't realize that this is really something that we need to talk about beforehand.
Okay, so while we're dating, we need to figure out our values. And so what do we do? Do I sit across the table and say, hi, what are your values? Or how do we even bring up this conversation?
Yeah, you know, probably you want to skip that conversation on the first date. But definitely at some point, as the couple is starting to get more and more committed to each other, and maybe when they're engaged or when it just definitely seems like it's going to be imminent that we're going to get together, and maybe move in together or get married, we do need to talk about it. What are we going to do about money? We have so many unresolved issues. What is the money going to be? What do I want to use my money for? What do you want the money to be used for?
Okay. So that's one area to be really clear of how you use money, how I use money, and making sure that, you know, everybody can get their needs met, I guess.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
And as couples, when you're counseling couples and they're complaining about money, do you find that they've never done this in the first place, so that's the problem?
Or? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, that is the problem. And, for example, some people may be their fear might be that they'll be taken advantage of. Maybe one person comes in to the relationship with a lot more money or assets than the other. So there may be a fear that they'll be taken advantage of. But they don't really want to admit that, because that's not being a good guy. So they try to be a good guy, but meanwhile those feelings are building up in them. And maybe, so they need to talk about it. They need to talk about the tough stuff, which I know we tend to avoid. But it eventually catches up with us. So we need to talk about the tough stuff. How do we mingle our money? You know, I have all this money. How can we both feel like we're both contributing, even though I'm coming in with a lot more than you?
Mm-hmm.
And then the person that doesn't have as much may start to feel like they're being controlled by the other person if they're ferreting out just a little bit of money. So how do we do this so that you don't feel like I'm ripping you off, but I don't feel like I'm in a cage?
Okay. And figure out what to do. Now, when we're dating, and I like to go back and forth between dating and couples because
sure.
on IDC dating we have people who are dating and
sure.
then we have people who are committed couples. After we've kind of talked about where we want the money to go, do we need to talk about specific practices like I may have a savings that's automatically deducted, or do you really get into specifics on exactly how to do it, or just general what you're doing?
You know, I think every couple's different. I know, for example, with my wife and I, we never had those kinds of conversations. It just didn't seem to matter.
Okay.
And to us, it didn't. You know, we both came into the marriage working and making money, independent, and it really didn't matter. And then when she stopped working, we started having kids. You know, just what mine was hers, what's hers is mine, and she's pretty good with money. I didn't have to worry about her overspending. So there's really never been a conversation in our house. But for some couples, it depends. One person may tend to, you know, let's say you're dating someone and you see that person tends to spend more money than they have. You know, they have a high credit card bill, and you already see those patterns.
Okay.
And you're concerned about it. You better talk about it because now that you're merging funds, that person needs to work on that aspect of his or her personality
okay.
so that there isn't resentment that builds up.
And what's happening with a person who is consistently spending a lot more than what they make?
Well, usually people overspend for several reasons. One is that it may be that it's my way to feel important. You know, maybe if I buy fancy clothes that aren't needed, but, you know, maybe I didn't get enough attention as a kid. Sounds very psychological jargony is there when I say that, but that's pretty much what happens. This is the way I build my self-esteem. So some people will shop for self-esteem. Some people will oftentimes shop they get caught up in this power struggle with a partner that may be a little bit too controlling. And it's sort of like, I'll show you, I'll spend whatever the heck I want.
Okay.
So that could be another reason. And another is just like any other addiction, it could be a way to just soothe our stress and make ourselves feel better.
Okay.
And so the person has to learn ways to deal with it because it's a big problem. I mean, I've had couples come in where the husband finds out or the wife finds out that the spouse has spent thousands and thousands of dollars, and, you know, that's very damaging to the relationship.
Very damaging to the relationship. So
yeah, because it's not only the money, it's feeling betrayed.
Yes.
It's like an affair.
Yes, and it's like, wow, all of our assets are gone, and I didn't
yes.
even know. So we have to be very, very eyes wide open, you know, in our relationships while we're enjoying this person, but we have to make sure that we understand their patterns and we know what we're looking at.
Yeah, you want to come up with a budget. You know, most of us need some kind of a budget, which includes tracking the spending. I mean, that really is helpful to know where your money is going. And that's just good for anybody, especially when they're first starting out. Many times when people first start out, they don't have a lot of money. Or they're not making as much money as they'll be making 10, 20 years from now probably. So it's important to start out that way and come up with some spending and saving goals and guidelines.
Okay.
And then you want to let your partner manage his or her own spending money the more you want to try to set it up where both people are agreeing to be responsible. Because the last thing you need is one person overlooking and micromanaging the other person. And that's where money issues become about power. And it can be real, you know, ways to act out anger and power issues in the relationship. So you want to talk about it, make agreements that feel right to both people, and then hopefully let each person monitor themselves.
Well,
that's the best way to do it.
So it really doesn't matter how little you have to work with. People still need to have the freedom, even if it's just $10 a month. It's their $10 a month that they can do
yes.
whatever they want with.
Yes, you want to give that. Each person has to have some sense of, okay, I have some choice. I have some power here. Otherwise, money, that's, like I said, usually money issues aren't really about money per se. It's what it represents to us on a deeper level, the power issues. You know, I don't have any control. You know, you don't care about me. All those things that money can represent.
It can very easily go into you don't care about me.
Yes,
but, can't it?
Right. If you cared about me, you'd let me, you know, buy my next pair of shoes.
Right. when you're working with couples, I mean, what is the point that it's like this thing is not going to work because the two can't come together? At what point do you look at that?
That's well. Oftentimes, what will happen is when one person, we try to avoid that as much as possible, but one person may just be on. They're so wrapped up in themselves. Like, let's say they have a, what I would call a narcissistic personality pattern, where it's all about them, and they can't see that what they're doing is hurting the other person, mm-hmm. and they can't. You know, but my job is to help them recognize that it's in your best interest to not be so stubbornly holding on to your way. That if you're going to be in this relationship, it's in your best interest to give a little bit. And people need to give a little. Some people need to give a little bit by letting go of money, and some people need to give a little bit by saying no to themselves and holding on.
Okay.
If a person's unwilling, absolutely unwilling to let go more or hold on more, whatever their issues are, then sometimes the person, then you got to go into self-protective mode, and it's not good. But then sometimes, let's say the person who is more of the saver and more of the money watcher may have to just treat the spouse like a child, take all their credit cards away, and say, okay, this is the way I'm going to do it.
Okay.
But that leads to more problems.
Right.
But, you know, because now you're taking away their freedom, but on the other hand, it's sort of like an adolescent who keeps coming home late on their curfew and then getting mad at their parents because the parents are giving them restrictions. It's the same thing. You can't fault the parent for giving you restrictions if you're not following the curfew.
Right.
We say with responsibility, you get freedom. And then you have to do that with adults, too.
Right, right.
Now, ultimately, the worst scenario is the person says, I can't live with you anymore, and they break up.
Mm-hmm. And all of that really can be avoided if we just work it out ahead of time.
Yes, and most of the time, I mean, most of the time when I'm working with couples, I find that as soon as they understand that this is not so much about money, but it's about feelings, fears, for example, and angers, and then they start to realize it. They start to deal with these feelings in a different way, because that's what happens with money. People use money to work out their conflicts, and it's not the best way to work out your conflicts.
Okay, so people, let's go over that. Let's slow down right there.
Sure.
People use money to work out their conflicts.
Yes. If a person, for example, feels like they aren't respected by the other person, then they may act out by spending. If a person is afraid that maybe a person came from a family where their parents never had any money, then he makes some money, this is the man. He may have a tremendous fear of becoming poor, hitting the poverty line, because maybe he went through that with his family, so that the spouse, when he's being too controlling, the spouse may say, you know, you're really trying to control me, and I help the spouse to understand he's just in a panic mode, and I help the person who is very fearful to begin to relax and remember that this is a new situation, a new relationship, you need to let go more, and help them become uncomfortable, in a sense, so that they're not so uncomfortable later when the wife finally says, I've had enough of this.
Right.
You know, they have to learn to stretch beyond their own fears. So, yeah, once the couple realizes that it's not, you know, that the money issue is usually more about something else, they don't, their perceptions of each other soften up, and they begin to compromise more than maybe before they didn't.
Okay, so what kind of language can we use with our loved ones? I mean, do we go, you know, I see that you're trying to compensate, so I'm going to give you a little slack. Do we want to put it like that, or can we? Are there some words we can use to soften, acknowledge, but yet kind of soften our response?
Well, probably, as I talk with you, I'm thinking that simplistically, money problems usually happen when one person may be letting go too much, one person's holding on too tight. And so let's say the person who's holding on too tight and the spouse wants to talk to them and say, you know, I know that it's not your intention to make my life miserable, but you are. You know, so, and I know it is because you're really afraid. You're afraid. You're just afraid that, you know, or the person can ask, what do you think? What's the worst thing that could happen if I spent money more than you think I should? And let the person speak. And if the spouse can listen, yeah, I understand that's how you feel. I do. And I know that's what happened. You saw, you know, your mom put you all into bankruptcy. But I'm not your mother. And I promise you, if you let go somewhat, I'll manage. I could even show you this, and you know, if you find in 2 months that I'm putting us into bankruptcy, then that's a problem, but it's not going to happen. But you want to talk to that person with a sense of, first of all, your intentions are not bad. You're not trying to make my life miserable, even though you are. And you just, you know, but really, let me reassure you, it's going to be okay. So, I mean, that's really what you want to do to the person that's holding on too tight. And you just speak plain English. So basically, the formula is, this is how I'm feeling. I'm guessing this is how you're feeling because you don't really want to make me miserable. But let me reassure you. And how you would talk to the person who lets go too much and spends too much, similar thing, you'd say, I know you're not really wanting to make me anxious. I know that's not your desire to make me feel terrible about, you know, what's going to happen with our future. However, the way you're spending is making me very anxious, and I need your help. We don't usually say things like that. We usually scold, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're spending too much, or you're cheap. You're just so cheap, and, you know, we judge, and we, you know.
I'm sorry, just to make sure. You're so cheap. But yes.
You're so cheap.
But something to that extent.
Yeah, so, you know, you said something, you're so cheap, that person's going to say, well, okay, I'll be nice to you, and I'll, no, they usually just get cheaper. So
you usually spend less.
You think I'm cheap? Watch this. So, yeah, but, you know, so you would say, you want to just basically say, make it's typical communication 101, I statements. I am feeling anxious. I need this from you. When a person hears the word I need, the phrase I need, they're less apt to get defensive, and they may not be. They may not stick their heels in a little deeper. You know, they might be able to start to move. Oh, you need me. Oh, you need me to be more responsible because you're anxious. You're not doing this because you're trying to control me. Okay.
Right. And once we understand our mate's angst and really, really how they're feeling, it's kind of easier to not hold on so tight and
right.
make a compromise.
Right, right. I mean, it's still, sometimes the person is able to do it. Sometimes you do need a third person, like a therapist, coach, whatever, to help people move, because people cling to their comfort levels, and oftentimes what makes one person comfortable makes the spouse or the girlfriend or boyfriend very uncomfortable.
Okay.
So we had to share in the discomfort somehow, and that's sometimes we could do it on our own. Sometimes we need some assistance in that.
We can definitely dissipate it and a little bit, and then if we're still not making progress, then we just need to sit down with a professional.
Absolutely.
Work it out.
Absolutely. But many people can try to really work these out on their own and recognize that we have to grow up, mature. We can't insist that it's going to be all our way, because if it's all my way, then it's not your way at all, and that's not going to work in a couple.
Okay.
Eventually, you're going to get back at me somehow.
Okay. That's great advice. Well, this has been Dr. Letitia Wright. I've been here with Todd Krieger. We've been talking about dating and money, couples and money, and because IDC Dating is where we create multicultural relationships every day, and people have got to figure out how to work with money. So I am very glad that we've had Todd Krieger on the line. He is also found at toddkrieger.com. Would you spell that for us?
toddkrieger.com.
So you can find him if you need to talk with him to move your relationship forward, or just want to talk with him about yourself. You don't have to talk about a relationship. He is available. Thank you so much for joining us. And
you're
thank
welcome.
You for listening. Again, this has been IDCDating.com's relationship podcast, and we've been talking about money and couples. This is Dr. Letitia Wright. Remember, ignoring one's conscience is neither safe nor right. I'll see you next time.